At the opening of the 15th century, the Mediterranean was not a single world so much as a crowded theater of rival worlds, all pressed together by geography, trade, faith, and violence. Its waters joined three continents, but they also divided empires, kingdoms, ports, languages, and religions whose ambitions rarely rested. From the rocky coasts of Catalonia and Provence to the lagoons of Venice, from the island harbors of Rhodes, Crete, and Cyprus to the fortified cities of Tunis, Alexandria, and Constantinople, the sea carried grain, silk, slaves, spices, pilgrims, soldiers, diplomats, and rumors. Every voyage was an act of calculation. Merchants measured wind and profit, princes measured fleets and fortresses, sailors measured fear against hunger. To cross the Mediterranean was to enter a realm where commerce and war were never fully separate. A merchant ship might become a prize, a fishing village might become a target, and a private raider might become a celebrated defender of the faith. Before the great age of the Ottoman Empire and the famous corsairs who would later fight in its shadow, the Mediterranean had already learned the rhythms of maritime violence. The sea was rich, divided, and dangerously exposed, and those conditions made it ready for a new era of expansion. The Eastern Mediterranean stood at the center of this gathering storm. For centuries, Constantinople had been the symbolic hinge between Europe and Asia, the imperial city whose walls seemed to belong not merely to politics but to destiny itself. Yet by the 15th century, the old Byzantine Empire was only a remnant of its former glory. Its emperors still carried ancient Roman titles, and its churches still glittered with sacred memory, but its political power had shrunk to a fragile capital, a few territories, and a diplomacy built on desperation. Around it, the Ottomans had risen from a frontier principality in northwestern Anatolia into the most dynamic land power in the eastern Mediterranean world. Their sultans had crossed into Europe, established authority in the Balkans, absorbed rival Turkish emirates, and placed Constantinople under a tightening reign of pressure. The city was still magnificent, still coveted, and still feared, but it no longer commanded the sea lanes around it as it once had. The Bosporus and Dardanelles were becoming Ottoman corridors, and that change mattered profoundly. Whoever controlled those straits could influence the movement of armies, grain, timber, slaves, and ships between the Black Sea and the wider Mediterranean. Before Ottoman sea power became a full Mediterranean force, Ottoman land power had already begun to alter the balance of the sea. Yet the Ottomans did not inherit an empty stage. They entered a maritime world shaped by older powers, especially Venice and Genoa, whose commercial empires had long depended on colonies, treaties, convoys, and naval muscle. Venice was not merely a city, it was a maritime republic whose wealth rested on disciplined administration, shipbuilding, diplomacy, and the careful protection of trade routes. Its possessions in the eastern Mediterranean, including Crete, key Aegean islands, and later Cyprus, were not ornaments but lifelines. Venetian merchants carried goods between the Levant and Europe, and Venetian galleys linked markets across the sea with remarkable efficiency. Genoa, though often more fragmented and factional than Venice, possessed its own powerful network, including colonies in the Black Sea, commercial stations in the Eastern Mediterranean, and deep experience in maritime finance and naval warfare. These Italian republics did not see the sea as an open highway. They saw it as a field of privilege, contract, and guarded advantage. Their captains could be merchants in one season and combatants in another. Their governments condemned piracy when it threatened their commerce, yet they also understood the usefulness of licensed violence when directed against rivals. In this atmosphere, the difference between a pirate, a corsair, a naval commander, and a patriotic merchant captain could depend less on conduct than on whose seal authorized the voyage. Farther west, the Mediterranean was no less divided.